Oh, absolutely. 836 with John Landecker at 720 WGN. If you recognize it, that's a clip from the 2002 film Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio. And he played the role of Frank Abagnale, who I believe is actually, the movie was based on a real person who assumed a lot of different fake identities to bilk people out of a lot of money, including check washing, if I remember correctly. He had a big plant somewhere in Germany. He was just printing them up. And it's our way of introducing again tonight one of our favorite people, Herb Weisbaum, who's the contributing editor at checkbook.org and host of Consumerpedia podcast and author of the article he sent us today. Check washing is back, making a comeback. Here's how to protect yourself. Good evening, Herb. Thank you for coming on.
Hi, John. Still haven't made a movie about me yet, but I'm crossing my fingers.
When I
now
saw
Leonardo's older, he could play me probably, you know.
So I didn't even
know Frank Abagnale, by the way. I've met him several times.
And, seriously?
There was a book written that he didn't really do everything he claims he did. But yes, he was a master check writer and check frauder who eventually worked for the FBI.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I jumped at, just to jump ahead a couple of paragraphs in your article, as long as you bring it up. Brett Johnson is quoted in your article, who is a convicted identity theft turned security consultant, which is right out of the plot of that movie. Catch me
if you
can.
Like this. He's like the cyber version. I've known Brett for a couple of years, and I'll tell you about Brett, and then we'll get back to the story. So
right.
Brett actually was known as the godfather of the internet. He helped us with this story because he knows about cybercrime. Brett was the person who takes credit for figuring out that you could take dead people and apply for a tax refund for them, because that was back in the time when the death rolls computers and the IRS computers didn't talk to each other. So he's the genius that came up with that idea. Mm-hmm. And he was basically caught and given an option of working for the feds, do exactly what Frank Abagnale did, but he did it on the cyber side.
Right.
And he was told, all you have to do is never use a computer at home. You can only use a computer when you're with us. Of course, he was a crook and continued to use a computer and doing fraud at nighttime. They found out he left town before they could arraign him. And went on a multi-state spree. He was on the top 10 list of the Secret Service's most wanted list. I have a picture of his wanted picture in my file. They finally caught him. He spent 6.5 years behind bars, found God in jail, and decided it was time to change his life. And he came out and he says he's a new man. And now he works as a consultant for some really big security companies and also does some stuff for the FBI. And it's basically the same story, but a whole generation later.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, you were talking about he's the master of the internet, and that's all technical and digital. But this, what we're talking about here, check washing, making a comeback, this is like analog. I mean,
low tech.
This is like your grandmother's scam. You know, this is your checkbook. I couldn't believe it.
You and I almost always talk about cyber stuff, because you're, Herb, I got this email. But this is low tech, and I first did my first check washing story probably about 35 years ago. That's how long this has been around. And then it sort of disappeared. We didn't hear about it very much, probably because everybody moved in other directions. And now this is making a comeback big time. Let me explain what check washing is. If a criminal is able to get a hold of your check, they can take the check and they just put it into a little plate or a dish or a pan of acetone or something like that, same kind of stuff that's in nail polish remover. They put it in there. The ink that's printed on by the checking company does not wash off, but the handwritten ink that you put on there does wash off, and they basically have what Brett called a clean piece of paper that you can actually take that, it dries off, it's not really visible, obvious that it's done, and you can write whatever name you want, and you can put whatever money you want, and if you want to leave the signature, that's fine, you can just wash part of the check and leave the valid signature there, or you can put your own signature, and then you can cash the check, and the poor check holder is left holding, the who wrote the check is left holding the bag until it works its way through the whole investigative process and the bank realizes that you've been the victim of fraud. So this is making a huge, huge comeback. No one has really an idea of how much money. There's some figures floating around, but we're talking in the hundreds of millions of dollars a year, more than likely. The only figure I could find that I knew was a bona fide figure that's in my checkbook story is that in 2021, U.S. banks reported more than 350,000 cases of potential check fraud, not all of them check washing, but potential check fraud. And in 2022, that figure nearly doubled to 680,000 reported cases. So you're talking about an increase in all check fraud, and this is probably part of it. So it's something that everybody needs to be aware of. And as we explain the story, and I'll tell you about, there's ways you can protect yourself, which is really critical in this day and age.
I didn't realize that many people were still even using checks.
Yeah, and it could be everything from simple writing a check and sticking it into a gift card, into a birthday card, and sending your daughter, son, niece, nephew, whatever, a check for their birthday, to people who still use a check to pay their income tax that they owe the IRS or the state government. I mean, there are a lot of checks still floating around out there that these guys can grab a hold of. And it's really scary when you can see. So here's why this has surged. This has surged because in the old days, as Brett Johnson said to me, and by the way, you can hear Brett at the top of this checkbook story. You'll hear Brett with the audio. I interviewed him and put him in the story. He said, I used to find some, you know, poor schlub who I could get to go in the bank and cash the checks for me that I had washed. So I usually found a homeless person, you know, give him some money, go in there, cash the check, bring it out to me, and I go take the money and run, and I'm never putting myself at risk. Well, nowadays, you don't even have to go to that trouble with remote deposits. You can deposit using your smartphone. You can deposit using an ATM. You never have to go in the bank. No, nobody has to see you. Even though an ATM takes pictures, you put a disguise on, you cover yourself with glasses and a hat, and they're never going to know who you are. So this has really encouraged this fraud to come back because, A, it's so lucrative, and, B, your chances of getting caught are really, you know, very slim and none. I mean, there are people who've written checks for $50, $100 and had them cashed for $5,000, $10,000. The money is sucked out of their account right away. The criminals run away with it, John, until the bank, as I said, goes after this investigation and figures out that you're the guy that's been ripped off. In my story, I talked to a guy named Lawrence Brandon of Philly. He's 80 years old, a retired guy, sent a $57 check to a health insurance company. It got washed, and they cashed it for $4,950, almost $5,000. It came out of his account, and the bank said, we'll investigate, but it's out of your account. And it took him almost 4 months for the bank to put that money back in. He said to me, Herb, that's a lot of money for a guy my age. That's a lot of my savings to not be able to access for 4 months. And imagine if they took out even more. So that can be a real. And then, if, of course, if you were paying bills with it, like if that was your check to the credit card company, you could have late payments. Your payments could bounce to utility service or whatever. There can be a lot of compounding damage that's done besides the fact that just that one check was not paid because they stole it.
Well, obviously, you need to have the amount of money that they're scamming in your account for this to work. Otherwise, the check would bounce, wouldn't it?
Well, in his case, they actually did have, he did have the money in his checking account, and they were able to get away with it. So that's the problem. You know, if, and some people keep a fair amount of money in their checking account. Not all, everybody does, but some people do. Yeah. So the other big thing here, John, that the story points out, and I was not aware of this at all, is the other reason why this scam is proliferating is that Brett showed me, I don't know if you saw the pictures in my checkbook story, those keys, the pictures of keys.
Yes.
Those are mailbox keys. Those are master keys to the big blue boxes we all put our mail in, and the green boxes you see on the street that the carriers use to swap out mail, you know, they drop it off and pick it up there. These, you don't even have to go on the dark web anymore. These are available on an app called Telegram, and they're being sold for between $1,000 and $1,500. You buy this key, and this will let you in every single postal box in your area, either the blue boxes and or the green boxes, and you don't have to break into people's mailboxes individually anymore. They still do that, go through neighborhoods, but you can take sacks of mail, grab it, take it and run, then go through it at your leisure, and then decide which ones have the checks in them, and then do what you want with the checks. That's the other reason why this scam is proliferating. It's unbelievable what these criminals are doing.
Well, we should take some steps to protect ourselves, and we're going to talk about that next when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker at 849. Thanks for tuning in. We're in the middle of a extremely interesting and helpful conversation with Herb Weisbaum, who's the contributing editor at checkbook.org and host of Consumerpedia podcast and author of this article, Check Washing Makes a Comeback. Here's How to Protect Yourself. That's right. Checks, you know, analog checks, like as from the checkbook, like can you balance your checkbook? Exactly. Those kind of checks. This is something that's been around for a while, according to Herb, and it's making a comeback. And when you were talking about those keys that you can obtain that will unlock, if I got this right, U.S. Postal Service mailboxes, the ones that are sitting outside the post office?
Yes, they're called arrow keys, and they're what the mail carriers have, and they can unlock the boxes, the big blue Postal Service boxes and the green Postal Service boxes, which are what the mail carriers use to you know, when they get the run and put the mail in there or pick the mail up. Yep. So you can get all that mail in gigantic bags, you know, all ready to go, and just boop, you're gone.
Unbelievable. So what can we do as people who want to keep our money safe in the bank and don't want to have our checks washed? What steps can we take?
Sure. Well, clearly the safest way to pay is online, and that comes from John Brio, who runs the website fraud.org. If you're using a secure computer and it's not connected to public Wi-Fi, if you can pay online, that is the safest way to go. These things are encrypted from end to end, and you know that's the way to go. But if you're going to write a check, these are some of the basic tips that I got from the good folks at the AARP Fraud Watch Network, who try to protect folks as much as possible. First of all, use a pen with non-erasable gel ink. You can buy pens. Some of them are marked if you go to the store. It says gel ink pen. And I didn't know this when I started working on the story, but I learned that gel ink soaks into the paper and is much more difficult to remove than ballpoint pen ink. So that's one way to foil the crooks right there. Write all your checks with gel ink pens. Then take your outgoing mail to the post office. Never leave it in one of those blue boxes if it's after the last pickup time. Or if you really want to be safe, go inside and put it inside the drop slot that's inside the post office. This is more important in some cities than the others. I know I'm doing my research. I don't know what Chicagoland is, but I know like in Philadelphia has had a huge problem with these keys being used to open up the big mailboxes and stealing the mail. And basically there they're saying, you know, just take it inside the post office. So again, that's your safest bet is to do that. Never leave delivered mail sit in your mailbox. You know, these guys still do, the low-tech thieves still do go around and try to open up mailboxes in neighborhoods and just steal the mail. It's happened in my neighborhood, and I live in a nice rural area or suburban area in Bellevue, Washington, outside of Seattle. And last year or two, they've come through a couple of times. I have a locking mailbox. They couldn't get into mine or my neighbors, but they got into other people's who did not have a locking mailbox. And we found a whole pile of open mail at the end of the street. So they were obviously looking for credit cards and checks. Last thing is, sign up for what's called informed delivery. Are you familiar with a service from the Postal Service, John?
No. Tell us about it.
Okay. So you go to informed delivery, and if you need the link, it's with my story on checkbook. But you go there, and the Postal Service will send you an email every single morning that has a front picture of the mail that's coming to your mailbox at home. So it lets you know what you're supposed to get. And the great thing about that is if you're expecting that big refund check from the IRS, and again, you shouldn't, it should be direct deposited, but if you're expecting some check from your employer or some friend is sending you a check, and you see it in your informed delivery feed that day, the email you get, and you know it's supposed to come, and it doesn't come, that's a real quick indicator that you have a problem and you need to check with the Postal Service and see what went on. So it's also really good when you're away from home if you want to just check on things to see if something's happened. But it's called informed delivery. It's been available for a number of years from the Postal Service. That's one thing you can do. As with all fraud, report it as soon as you know there's a problem. The sooner you report it, the better it is. Monitor your bank accounts. Make sure you check your checking account maybe once a week or so, because if you see something wrong, again, you can spot the problem right away and have it taken care of. If you still get canceled checks back in the mail, make sure that you shred them when you're done with them. Don't throw them in the trash or the recycle bin. Shred them. If you have a problem, report it to the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, because they're the ones that are trying to go after these guys, especially the ones stealing the keys. And they really need to know where the crimes are happening so they can focus their resources on that. In my area, by the way, John, we had a couple in Seattle. In the last couple of months, we had a couple of mail delivery trucks. Actually, they stole the trucks and took them away from the mail carriers. And I was trying to figure out why would they want to do that, because it said no mail was stolen. Then I did this story, and I realized they didn't want the mail. They wanted the keys that were inside the mail delivery trucks so they can steal all the mail. That's what's going on right now. By the way, last point is this is starting to get the attention of Congress, and some members of Congress have actually written the American Bankers Association and said this problem is getting out of hand. You need to do more to try to clean up this problem. Who knows if anything will happen, but that's when it comes to the attention of Congress, you know, it's a problem that's widespread enough that these lawmakers are reading the stories in their hometowns.
You got time for a quick question?
Yeah, a quick one. Go ahead.
What about
a minute and a half?
Okay, real quick. Is it an acceptable idea for certain kinds of things that you're expecting to be delivered to you by mail, if you have a place of employment, to have it sent to you at your place of employment?
Well, if you can, some places will only send it to your account on record, which the account on record, that's the news guy, by the way, would probably be your home address. But, you know, I don't like mixing up my personal mail and my business mail. I just don't frankly like that. Your best bet is to try to get things delivered electronically if you can. So, for instance, at this time of year, pay your taxes electronically, get your refunds electronically. That's a much safer way to go than having those things go through the mail either way. So if you work at a little small firm, that might be something you could do. But again, in most cases, they're going to want to send it to the account on record, because a sign of fraud is to try to tell somebody to send it someplace else.
Herb, thank you so much for being with us. It's Herb Weisbaum. He's the contributing editor at checkbook.org, the Consumerpedia podcast. Check out his stuff. He knows, obviously, what he's talking about. Thanks for being with us, Herb.